From the highest mountains to the bluest seas, the driest deserts to the icy poles, Kate Turkington has traveled there, and now she's inviting you to travel with her through your radio. Travels with Kate, only on 101.9 High FM.
And a very good morning to you wherever you are in the world. And because it's autumn in Johannesburg and autumn in South Africa, I found a lovely quote, more of him anon, the French philosopher Albert Camus, spelled C-A-M-U-S for those non-francophiles, Camus. Actually, he was born in French Algeria. But he has a lovely, lovely quotation about autumn. And he says, autumn is a second spring when every leaf is in flower. Isn't that lovely? Autumn is a second spring when every leaf is in flower. I was thinking that as I was driving into the studio this morning. The trees are yellow and red and orange and russet and all the colours of autumn. I'm going to have a pen and paper or pencil and paper ready because I'm going to be talking books to begin with. And I thought this morning I'd talk about contemporary Irish authors, because at the moment they seem to be absolutely dominating what I call the literary market. By the literary market, I confess to you before, I'm an intellectual snob. I can't read rubbish. But a literary book doesn't have to be so obscure you can't read it. There are the most wonderful books about in the moment. And I'm hoping sometime next month to get hold of Colum McCann, who's one of the great South African one of the great Irish contemporary writers.
This is Kate Turkington on Travels with Kate, only on 101.9 High FM.
And I'm talking to you about contemporary Irish authors. And just to remind you, in fact, that Ireland, I mean, per capita, it's only got, 5-6 million people, but it actually has 3 Nobel Prize winners. I mean, it's quite amazing, really, when you think of it. That was W.B. Yeats, of course, George Bernard Shaw, Seamus Heaney, the Northern Irish poet, and Samuel Beckett, Waiting for Godot. And a bit earlier on, I gave you a quote from Albert Camus, and Africa tries to claim that he's an African Nobel Prize winner, but he was born in French Algeria. So there's a lot of controversy over that. I don't think it can be counted as South African. So that was the Irish Nobel Prize. It's actually Yeats, Shaw, Seamus Heaney, and Samuel Beckett. And then coming back to our 3 in South Africa, of course, Nadine Gordimer, who I interviewed on several occasions, J.M. Coetzee, and as I said, Africa's trying to claim Albert Camus, who was born in French Algeria, but I don't think can be claimed by South Africa. Anyway, back to Irish authors and Colum McCann. I don't know if you ever read the one that startled the world many years ago. Now, I haven't got the publication date in front of me, but do you remember A Perigon? It was this amazing, amazing book about 2 fathers, a Palestinian father who'd had his daughter killed by the Israeli Defense Force, and the Israeli father who had the daughter killed by the Palestinian army. And it broke all kinds of world record. It was the most amazing book. If you've never read it, it's My daughter, who's just read it, said she didn't find it easy reading. I found it very easy reading. But anyway, he then went on to write Let the Great World Spin. And this is Colin McCann, and he actually won the National Book Award in America for that, became a huge international bestseller. He actually lives in New York. And that was, it was set in New York in 1974. Read it, it's amazing. And the characters, there's a very diverse cast of characters, and each one represents every layer, if you like, of 1970s New York society. So you've got a monk, you've got a hooker, you've got a judge, you've got a computer hacker, you've got a whole range of memorable characters, and they're all tied together by one thing. And I don't know if you remember this, I remember it quite well, but in 1974, a Frenchman called Philippe Petit strung a wire between the Twin Towers. This was, of course, before they were bombed. He strung a wire between the two Twin Towers, and he tightrope walked across it above New York. I mean, it was the most amazing feat. And it's his walk that sort of is a kind of central motif of that amazing book, Let the Great World Spin. And Colin McCann's latest book is called Twists. I've just finished that, and as I say, I'm hoping to interview him here for you live on High FM 101.9 and in May. And Twist is about, would you believe, underwater sea cables. It's a novel. But what absolutely rocked me to my little cotton socks, our information, what you're listening to now, wherever you are in the world, is conveyed in an underwater cable through a channel that is no bigger than a hair on your head. And if somebody is to break that cable, well, imagine. Just imagine, the cable was broken, I think, was it earlier this year or at the end of last year? But it's actually quite easy to break those cables. And just think, if they were broken around the world, that's it. Absolutely no communication via a computer or IT or anything. That would be apocalyptic. Anyway, another writer, Irish writer, contemporary Irish writer, of course, is Sally Rooney. And you may well have read Normal People, one of her bestsellers, and also it became a big TV series, big hit TV series. And another one of hers, Conversations with Friends. I'm giving you this list of authors because they're page-turning authors, but they're also, the novels are beautifully written. This isn't sort of wham-bam, thank you, ma'am, or just poorly written stuff. It's brilliant. And then, of course, one of my favorites, Anne Enright, the Booker Prize winner of The Gathering. And she wrote Actress, and the one I've just read, The Wren. And she was a former Irish laureate for fiction. But anyway, I'm going to come back to the Irish authors because I'm absolutely delighted to see popping up in front of me this wonderful, great big bear, Huggy Bear, of a man, one of South Africa's favourite entertainers, of course, Harry Sideropoulos. Good morning to you, Harry.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. I'm sorry that I'm a little bit late, but good morning.
No problem. And it's so nice to see you on an overcast, rainy morning. And as I say, you don't mind me describing you as a big cuddly bear, because you are.
I am. I'm a big burly man. Absolutely. Absolutely.
You are.
I'm my Kate. Hello, hello, hello.
Now, I actually don't know where to start with you, Harry, because This is just the list I wrote for myself. You are the ultimate polymath. You're a singer. You're a comedian. You're an actor. You're a jazz musician. You're a designer. I've got to talk to you about that. You're a cook. I mean, so I'm going to ask you, and this is going to be very difficult, which is your favorite? If you had to wear any one of those hats, which is your favorite hat?
Can I really be honest with you and tell you that my favorite, most favorite, is I love to cook.
Do you?
And I'll tell you why. I mean, I love entertaining and I love all of the other stuff, but I love making people happy. And I love sitting across a table and breaking bread and seeing people so happy when they taste my food. Like it's a moment of, I just love intimate connections. And I grew up in a family where we would sit around the kitchen table, those very 1980s Novelon tiled tables with plastic tablecloths with pineapples on them. And we would sit there, and that was the time when we connected. So for me, I love cooking, and food is my love language. It's my love language.
And just going back, I'm going to take a quick break, but thinking of 70s and 80s, lava lamps and Flicati rugs and sun filter and macrame. I went through a macrame craze. You couldn't move in my house for hanging baskets. Hanging baskets of stuff. But Harry, I'm coming back to you.
This is Kate Turkington on Travels with Kate, only on 101.9 High FM.
And joining me this morning, one of my favourites and so many of your favourites, I've told him he looks like a bear and he doesn't mind, but he's a great big huggable bear of a man, Harry Sideropoulos. And of course, everybody's favourite Greek too. Now, Harry, before the break there, you were talking about food. And I've got to nail my colours to the mask because I'm like Shirley Comrie. I believe life's too short to stuff a mushroom. So I'm always in awe of people like you who take such delight. I love eating it. I love eating it. But where does the joy come from? It's not just the end result when people are sitting around your table, as you were talking about in the 70s with the pineapples on the plastic tablecloth. I think we all had those. Where does the else does the joy come from?
The joy comes, it's a sense of meditation. That's what it is. I can't just quickly prepare something for you. It's the music is on. Sometimes the news are. I mean, I become my parents. I start the day, middle of the day, end of the day with news, all right? Like news and weather, as though I can't open my curtains and just see what the weather is. No, I need to watch what the weather is, all right? So I love it's the art of putting it together, then figuring out, is Kate coming? What does Kate like? So then I put something together that I know is going to bring you immeasurable joy. And that's what it really is for me. It's complete therapy. I love the prepping, where I'll sit down and I'll prep the mise en place, cut the onions, chop the garlic, prepare the cubes of beef, do whatever, and then putting it all together. And it really is my happy place. It is my, and then not only what I love about the next stage, of course, is what is my table going to look like? Yeah. Okay. What flowers? Like, I love beautiful things. And my background is design, because that's what I studied. I studied architecture and design. So I love beautiful things. And I have this penchant for collecting crockery. I love it. Mm. All right. So I create. So everything is, you know, there's a beautiful phrase by the wonderful French author, Anaïs Nin. And I'm going to give it to you. I'm not going to give it to you the quote exactly because I can never remember it exactly.
Okay.
But she said this wonderful, very profound quote that said, if I had not created my own world, I would have had to die in someone else's. And I love that. I mean, it sounds very profound.
At
10 o'clock in the morning. But it really is, creating my world. So my apartment is my world. The way I host is my world. And of course, now in the next 2 months, my book, my cookbook gets released. And in that book is all the love that I have experienced from family and friends. And through it's also, food is also memory. Okay. It's memory. So yes, we laugh about the pineapple tablecloth, but it's about memory and it's about lineage. Okay. And for me, that's the connection. And I think the older I'm getting, because I'm turning 51 this year, and the older I'm getting,
you're a slip of a boy, Harry. You're a slip of a boy.
The older I'm getting, family is becoming more and more important. Unfortunately, I've lost both my parents. So family is very important. So when we're able to sit across the table and cook something that my mom loved or that my father loved or that my mom's sister used to love, because unfortunately, she's also no longer here with us. That for me is a connection to my past. Mm-hmm. And that's why the book is called Every Taste of Memory.
You must, Harry, make sure I get a copy, please. I'm sure the publisher will send me one, because when it comes out, let's talk again about the book and about... But were you always into food? I mean, as I said earlier, you're a jazz musician, you're a designer, you're an actor, you're a comedian... Okay, let me start this. How did Harry, the polymath, the actor, the da-da-da, blah-blah, how did it all start, Harry?
It all started when I was very, very young at school, at Sahetsi School, the Greek school around the corner from King David. It all started there because we had an amazing drama teacher, a Jewish lady called Hazel Yuko, whom I'm still in touch with via Facebook. She truly believed in my talents. I was a very quiet boy. No one would ever believe this. I was an introvert at school, and I wasn't good at sport. I wasn't very good at many things. And then an opportunity came about to stage Robin Hood, and they asked me to be Little John, and. Anyway, I auditioned and I got the part, and that was where my career started. And I remember Hazel Yuko, together with one or two other teachers, saying to me, "You've got a great talent here." And through that, I started singing, and then through that, I started acting, and then I did art for matric, and I did photography, which I really, really enjoyed, and I did painting and sculpture. So Sahetsi School, kind of at the time, it gave me a really, really good immersive experience to access and to activate.
I think you've raised a very important point. I mean, it's what you're obviously what in South Africa is called creative. Creative. Yes. But you've made a very important point about teachers, because there's... not so much in South Africa, but I mean, you've probably seen Adolescence, the TV show that's absolutely shocked everybody, and everybody should watch it who's got any sons or grandsons or teenage children. But the point you've raised is about teachers who get so little respect compared to the respect they got, for example, when you were growing up. And I remember Sahiti because all those years ago, it's now FEDA, the wonderful school play competition. It used to be called RAPS. And I was a RAPS judge for years. And I remember Sahiti. There were some schools that always shone in drama and still do. Sometimes they're private schools, sometimes they're government schools, sometimes it's a school like Sahiti, sometimes it's like King David. But that role of the teacher is so crucial. And I was saying recently to some friends, thank goodness we live in South Africa, where in many schools, not all by any means, but in many schools, there's still respect, good manners, children are being well taught.
Absolutely. Let me tell you, I was overseas for 3 months last year, and I think we had spoken when I just returned. And let me tell you, there's something quite amazing about South Africa, and I know that there's a lot of problems. I am not closing my eyes. I know that I have, you know, had a privileged background. I understand all of that stuff, and I'm not taking any of that away.
Yeah.
But with all our darkness and with all our challenges and with all our very unstable political past and current political landscape, there is this concept of Ubuntu that really exists, whether in a school, whether in a supermarket, whether around a table, whether in a corporate environment. And let me tell you, I came back from overseas with a really newfound adoration of South Africa. South Africa is a little bit, I think we all have a complicated relationship with South Africa because of, you know, the challenges that it faces, you know.
Yeah.
You know, the safety, security, people that are not, you know, that have got children and are worried about the future. I mean, but South Africa is a little bit like that wonderful Hotel California song. You can check out, but you can never leave. And that's the reality, you know.
I was doing quite a big trip before Christmas, updating a guidebook to South Africa. And I came across many, many. I was at a lot of game lodges, all packed with foreigners. I mean, South Africans can't really afford. But French, Italian, loads of Americans. And what impressed me so much, what I got back from the Americans every time, was a government of national unity. Hell, and I'm not saying, you know, I'm not passing comments on it. They said, we could never have that. We are so polarized in America. A government of national unity, is this a first? And we forget, Harry, it's like you say, we forget, and you need to travel to come back to see what is so good. But anyway, I want to come because I did not know you were a designer and had a design background. So tell us about that.
So I wanted to become an actor, and my parents said to me, do whatever you must do, but just don't become an actor, you're going to starve. And I can't blame them. And I can't blame them because, you know what, it hasn't been an easy career, and that's just the reality. It's the reality, you know, unless you're Al Pacino, Meryl Streep, or, you know, some of the big singers that, you know, and for the rest of us, it's month to month. It's just the reality of the way it is. So the next thing that I really enjoyed was design. So I went and I studied at Wits Technikon. At first, I did a 2-year diploma at Boston House College. That was what it was called,
yeah.
Which was, I think became known as Inscapes afterwards. And then afterwards, I went to Wits Technikon, and I had this amazing lecturer. And he lives in somewhere, I think, in Hyde Park. And every now and again, I bump into him, talking about the importance of teachers. Education and teachers. And his name was Mr. Johnston. And he was the most magnificent history of art lecturer. Magnificent. He very rarely looked at his notes. And back then, of course, there were slides.
Yes.
All right. You would show slides, okay, in the lecture room. And I remember his great sense of humor and the love of design and the love of art. He used to wear these. He had these signature kind of, at the time it was the early 90s, so paisley patterns were in fashion. And he used to wear these beautiful short sleeve, silky paisley shirts. And then whilst we were, you know, because he would also take us for drawing, and whilst we were drawing in class, he'd walk around and he'd share, you know, he'd want to know how to make baklava. And he'd want to know how to make pasticcio, you know. So again, the importance of a lecturer. And I love design. And up to today, I love design. And I love that it kind of has given me an understanding of poster design when I design posters, stage design when I design stage, my packaging for all my food items that I create for my various corporates. I have an understanding of what it needs to look like. And so for me, everything about my life has to be creative. That's just who I am. And I love the fact that on a, like now we're rehearsing for my big show that I'm going to be part of with Swinging Las Vegas with the Johannesburg Big Band. Oh. I love the fact that some days I'm rehearsing for that. And other days I'm doing a voiceover. And another day I'm designing packaging for my biscotti. And the other day I'm working on a cookbook. And then I love the integration of yes. everything that I do.
Yes.
And I think it's been a problem for many people because they don't know where to box me. And it's been a challenge for my career because people want to be able to box you. You're a comedian.
Yeah.
I don't do stand-up comedy. I do comedy. And they don't understand
now,
there's
let's
a difference.
Decode that. What's the difference then in your mind between comedy and stand-up comedy?
So stand-up comedy, and I have paramount respect for them, because I can't do that. They deliver a comic line in every 8 seconds, all right? I do storytelling comedy, okay? So I do anecdotal comedy where I'm building and telling the story. And mine is, I love theatricality. So there's sound effects, there's lighting, look, a lot of comedians also do physicality.
Yeah.
But for me, it's a show. I put a show together. So a stand-up is, you know, you can walk up and there's very seldom any lighting, and it's just a man or a woman with a microphone. Mine is more theatrical, okay? So, and it's storytelling. And I love using a very complicated soundtrack for when I do my stuff. I sing, I love to sing big band swing and jazz.
Yes.
I love to cook. I love to, all of these things. And it's sometimes people want to put you in a category.
Yes.
Who are you?
Yeah.
And I want to say, I'm an entertainer. That's what I do.
That's
I entertain.
Lovely. I love that. That's because that's the most wonderful umbrella. Term. Now, where does we can go off in so many different directions. Where does the jazz come into this, the jazz musician?
So again, memory. I grew up in a house back then, you will remember this, Kate,
yeah.
with the TDK cassettes. There were the TDK 60 minutes that were red cassette, and the blue TDK, sorry, the green TDK were 90 minutes, okay? And my father loved to internally, and I say internally in the house, he would like DJ. So he loved collecting music, and he would record it from the records. All right, onto these cassettes. And that was the first time I discovered the Rat Pack. That was the first time that I discovered Dean Martin. I'm just a gigolo, and Louis Prima, and everywhere I go, you know, all of that stuff. Together with Montavani, together with Johann Strauss, together with a lot of classical music. And my father used to dance. He used to love dancing, all right? The foxtrot, the waltz. My mother, on the other hand, also loved music, but she came from a world of the francophone music. So Edith Piaf, Charles Aznavour, Mireille Mathieu,
Jacques Brel.
François Hardy, right? Jacques Brel. So
I remember one of the very first shows before your time, Harry, when I first came to South Africa 50 years ago, one of the first shows I saw in Johannesburg was Jacques Brel. Absolutely. I think it was downtown at one of the little theaters there, but it stayed in my mind. And I thought, oh, wow, Jacques Brel. And then Rod McEwen.
It was a very famous.
Yeah.
It was a very famous show. I think it was called Jacques Brel is Alive and Well and Living in Paris.
Yes,
you've got it.
Okay, Harry, we're taking a break and then we're coming back. I mean, we could talk to you in any direction for forever.
This is Kate Turkington on Travels with Kate, only on 101.9 High FM.
With us today is Harry Sideropoulos. I mean, we've been talking, as I said earlier, he's a total creative polymath. Don't tell me you can do maths too, though, Harry.
No, God, I cannot. I cannot. Thank goodness.
Thank goodness. That would have been absolutely too much. Now, you've talked about the cookbook that's coming up, and I hate that expression. It's American. It used to be a recipe book, but I suppose cookbook is. And when it comes out, please, as I say, let's talk about it.
Absolutely.
But what else is coming up, Harry?
So the cookbook's happening. Then in May, on the 16th of May, we open with Adam Howard Productions. Adam Howard is the conductor of the Johannesburg Big Band. My history with him goes back 25 years ago, but we reconnected last year. And last year I did two shows with him. One was at the Teatro, Swinging Las Vegas.
I saw it. Was absolutely wonderful.
And now we're back with the next installment, season two of Swinging Las Vegas, which
also,
is very, very exciting.
Also coming back to the Teatro at Monte Cassino.
It's back at the Teatro.
Excellent.
Back at the Teatro, a whole new show. Whole new show. Myself, Craig Gabani, Timothy Malloy, and there's a new edition of Nadine. Wonderful, wonderful Afrikaans vocalist who sings where the dogs can hear. She's amazing. So I've got that coming up.
Great.
Then I'm working on my new comedy. I've got two new shows. One is an extension of the cookbook,
yes,
which the working title is called Every Taste of Memory. That's what the book is called. We're not certain if that is what the show is going to be called. And it really is a piece about, it's a show that no one has ever seen me in that kind of vein. It will obviously have a little bit of humor because that's who I am always. But it really is, it's a drama. It's a piece about finding home. It's a piece about growing older whilst through the metaphor of cooking. So,
where's that going to be, Harry? Will that be?
We're negotiating all of this. We're chatting for dates for next year at Peter Turin's Theatre. That's what we're working at.
Okay.
And then I've got my new comedy show, which I'm writing, and that is to tour. And it's going to be called I Am Harry Sideropoulos. That's basically it's about the craziness of the world. It's about all the things that I'm battling to kind of grasp. It's a very funny physical theater piece. So I'm working on that, and then we're also talking about finding my own space, which is very exciting. My own space that I can, I don't want a restaurant. I never wanted the commitments of a restaurant. But I'm looking at my own space, which could be my own little studio, where I can have my host, my dinners, where I can sell
almost,
all my
artwork. Harry, almost like a salon. You know, the old idea of a salon where you get writers and food and artists and people. That sounds amazing. Now, because my show is called Travels with Kate, and I mean, I take travels in the widest. I mean, we've been traveling with you now through your life, which is amazing.
Yes.
But do you have a favorite travel destination? And you're not allowed to say Greece.
No, I'm not allowed to say Greece. And I do love Greece. But you know what? I do have... There's a place that... So there's two places. One that I've been to and one that is on a bucket list.
Okay.
So I absolutely... I love Prague. Okay?
Yes,
I love Prague.
I love
the fact that I'm walking through the corridors of these wonderful cobblestones, and it feels like Rapunzel is going to drop her mane of hair at any point. I love these flying buttresses. I love the Gothic architecture of Prague. All right. I love the fact that there's a river, and I'm going to say I do love cities that have rivers that run through them. Most cities have rivers in Europe.
Yes.
In Europe. So for me, Prague is a destination that I will go to and again and again and again and again.
And the music, never stops in Prague. Every corner, everywhere, there are leaflets saying there's this, there's that, there's just music everywhere.
And also the culture, the heritage of puppetry.
Yes.
Puppets.
Yes.
The art of puppetry is amazing.
Yes.
So that is the one destination that is a place that I can go to again and again and again. And the other one is a bucket list. And we're chatting with my sister Elizabeth. She owes me a 50th birthday present. All right. So she suggested that that maybe we should go here. And that is Cuba.
Oh, that's wonderful. I've been twice, Harry. It's very, I mean, the euphemistic word is challenging, but it's so interesting. And let me tell you, the food is terrible. The food is ghastly because it's all government stuff. So if you go into a restaurant, it's like a Wimpy. There are pictures on the wall, fish, pork, or I forget the other one, but they all taste exactly the same. But the food is dreadful. But the drinks, the mojitos and the cocktails and the cigars, of course, and the colour and the resilience of the people who've gone through so much. Definitely go to Cuba while you can, because that's, you know, so many places now, Harry, that I've been to, Tibet, Kashmir, places, Russia even, China, I go back like a shot. But so many of these places you can't go back to at the moment. So go. And give me a call before you go, because I'll give you some great tips.
Thank you. And also the music. Cuba and its music.
Exactly.
You know, Buena Vista
Social Club. Exactly. Lovely music. And wherever you go, there's music. And it's very small. And it's also got loads of history and culture and generation. Everywhere there are pictures of Che Guevara.
Yeah, of course.
Of course. And Fidel Castro and Cienfuegos. But okay. So I was going to ask you actually what was on your bucket list. And there you've told me. So go. Definitely go. Harry, we're going to have to leave it there. Time is up. It's so lovely to talk to you.
Kate, it's a pleasure for you, It's an absolute joy and pleasure.
I think you lift everybody's spirits. Anyway, thanks so much.
Please come and watch the show and wait for me to say hi. Please, if you come to Swinging Las Vegas, wait in the foyer.
Definitely.
So that I will. Give you a great big hug.
I promise. And what was I going to say? Yes, and how positive you are, as I am, about South Africa. That is, it's even, as we say, the euphemism with all the challenges. We're not allowed to say problems. Okay, Harry, thanks so much. Okay. Always a delight to speak to Harry. That's all we have time for. I did start the program by telling you about the Irish authors, and I'll go on with that in a couple of weeks or so. I'm off to Turkey at the weekend, and you know what I'm going to be doing? Hot air ballooning. So if I don't, I've done it before over the Narmim, over the Masa Amara, never over the fairy chimneys in Cappadocia. So if I don't fall out the basket and break my neck, I'll be talking to you all again very, very soon. Thanks, as always, to Craig Guthrie, who makes everything work at HiFN, and thanks to all of you for listening. So travel safely. Take care, not only of yourselves, but also of other people.